भगवते वासुदेवाय न कुर्यात् कदाचित् सत्यं मनसि ह्यनवस्थिते यद्विषं वाच्चिराच्चीर्णम् शस्कन्दतप ऐश्वरम्.
Learned scholars have given their opinion. The mind is by nature very restless, and one should not make friends with it. If we place full confidence in the mind, it may cheat us at any moment. Even Lord Shiva became agitated upon seeing the Mohini form of Lord Krishna, and Subari Muni also fell down from the mature stage of yogic perfection. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The first business of one trying to advance in spiritual life is to control the mind and senses. As Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:7, Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. Although the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and are therefore in a transcendental position, they are still suffering in this material world and struggling for existence due to the mind and senses. To get out of this false struggle for existence and become happy in the material world, one has to control the mind and senses and be detached from material conditions. One should never neglect austerities and penances. One should always perform them. Lord Rishabhdev personally showed us how to do this. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 19th chapter, 17th verse, it is specifically stated, Matra svasra duhitra va navivithasano bhavet balavan indriya gramo vidvamsam apikarshati. A grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, and brahmachari should be very careful when associating with women. One is forbidden to sit down in a solitary place, even with one's mother, sister, or daughter. In our Krishna consciousness movement, it has been very difficult to disassociate ourselves from women in our society, especially in Western countries. We are therefore sometimes criticized, but nonetheless, we are trying to give everyone a chance to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and thus advance spiritually. If we stick to the principle of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly, then by the grace of Srila Haridas Thakur, we may be a save from the allurement of women. However, if we are not very strict in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we may at any time fall victim to women. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 6, entitled The Activities of Lord Rishabhdev. Text number 3. Parikshit Maharaj begins this chapter by inquiring from Srila Sukadev Goswami why it was that Rishabhdev, who was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who naturally had all mystic powers, why did he neglect them? He acted like an ordinary person who appeared socially to be mad. People abused him, insulted him, harassed him in so many ways, simply by his glance he could have destroyed them, but he tolerated it. And when there was a fire in the forest, he could have easily by his mystic powers extinguished it, but instead he willingly burnt in that fire. Why? So Sukadev Goswami describes how the nature of the mind is it can be distracted from the spiritual path, and the very cause of our downfall, even if we attach ourselves to such mystic potencies. Because when the Lord appears within this world, he appears, especially in this instance, to give an example to humanity. What we should strive for, what we should see as sacred within our lives. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Rishabhdev came to teach pure devotional service, unalloyed, uninterrupted love of God. That is what he spoke to his sons, and that is what he demonstrated in his life. Sri Rupa Goswami explains what is pure devotional service. It is uncontaminated by the desire for anything except favorably pleasing the Lord through loving service. What most people in this world today strive for through the practice of religion or spirituality is considered in this case to be contaminations, diversions, desire for personal material pleasures. That is karmakanda, either in this world or even attainment of the heavenly planets. Desire for liberation, freedom from suffering, salvation from birth and death, and even desires for mystic powers, where we could read people's minds, where we could heal the sick, where we could raise the dead, where we could produce whatever anyone wants simply by the recitation of a mantra. There are mystic powers where great sages can travel at the speed of mind. But all of these things, personal enjoyment, liberation, and mystic powers, are considered contaminations, impurities. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutama. If we actually want to awaken the eternal love within our hearts, we can have not even a tinge of desire for these things. How is that possible? And in this instance, Shukadeva Goswami describes how the very essence of achieving this highest platform, the basis, is the sincerity to control one's mind. This is a fundamental principle of any true spiritual path, to control the mind and the senses. It is declared by all the scriptures and all the great sages and rishis throughout history. In today's modern world, people in the name of spirituality dismiss this fundamental principle. It's not required to control the mind or the senses. It's very difficult. And if you say that that's what's required, then most people will not listen to anything else you say. When Srila Prabhupada came to America, it was unbelievable what he did. So many others have come from India teaching yoga and spirituality. But to tell the people of the West, even the people of India, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, very difficult. Who will listen? But Prabhupada explains, some people must present the real essence of truth. If you want something cheap, you don't have to pay much for it. Recently we were reading, people were asking, that sometimes millions and millions of people join various spiritual groups. But when you tell them you have to control mind and senses like this, very few will come. Prabhupada said, that is true. If you sell broken glass, or if you sell plastic jewelry, then so many people will buy. But if you are trying to give a diamond, not so many people, because you have to pay a higher price. So Krishna explains in Gita that for one who controls the mind is the very best friend. But for one who fails to do so, the mind is the greatest enemy. In fact, it is explained here in this sector of Bhagavatam, really we only have one enemy, and that is our own mind, when it is uncontrolled. Yatato hyapikonteya pudushasya vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti vrashamamana. The senses, which include the mind, are so strong and so impetuous that they forcibly carry away the intelligence even of a man who is endeavoring to control them. Krishna explains in Gita that for one who does not control the mind and senses, there is no question of yoga. That's what yoga is about. It's not simply about having a healthy body or living many years. Yoga is about controlling the mind and the senses. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyan, samadhi. They are all various stages of refining, purifying, and controlling the gross, subtle body in such a way. Samadhi is what the goal is. And what is samadhi? Total control of the mind. Samadhi siddhir ishvara pranidhanat. To fix one's consciousness on one point without diversion. And Patanjali has explained that the perfection of samadhi is to fix one's mind on the Supreme Lord. Yogi namapi sarvesham madgatena antaratmana sharavan bhajate omam samayukta tamamataha. Therefore, Krishna tells in Gita that after describing the whole yogic process, Ashtanga Yoga in the 6th chapter of Gita, he says, of all yogis, he who abides in me with great faith is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the best, the most perfect. So that is what yoga is. To reunite one's mind and senses in Krishna. Total absorption in Krishna. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita vatmana. Vasehi yasyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtata. Krishna tells in Gita, one must restrain the senses and simultaneously fix the consciousness upon me. Rishabhdev describes, Shukadev Goswami explains in previous verse how when a hunter captures a dangerous wild animal, the hunter is very vigilant to keep guard over that captured animal. Because if he is inattentive, that animal may escape from captivity, may run away, or better yet, may turn at the hunter and at the least expected moment, devour him. Yes? We have seen a couple years ago there was very big international news that a very famous person, an entertainer, making huge amounts of money, very, very world acclaimed. He was something like a magician. And he was playing in the place where you get paid the most, Las Vegas. You have heard? It's a place of gambling, but it's also a place where extremely wealthy people from all over the world come to enjoy. So only very, very big name people can perform there. And he had a captive, I think it was a lion. And he does tricks with the lion. But one day, right in front of all the audience, this is quite embarrassing, so many distinguished people in their tuxedos and their evening gowns, they were all sitting there eating their very, very expensive forbidden foods and drinking very, very costly forbidden drinks and enjoying like anything. And all of a sudden, the lion just turned against the man and just sliced with his claws his whole body open. And the man had to be rushed to the hospital and was in critical condition for many days. Hare Krishna. So you capture a dangerous wild animal, you have to be very, very vigilant to make sure it's under control. Because if there's inattentiveness, it can turn against you and destroy you. So the mind is compared herein to such a wild animal.
Prabhupada quoted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that practicing Krishna consciousness is like the razor's edge. That means practicing real spiritual life is like razor's edge. If there's inattentiveness, there will be blood. And what is that attentiveness? Manashashtanandriyani prakriti stani karishati. The living entity in this world is struggling very, very hard with the six senses, which include the mind, which is like a wild animal, dangerous. A moment's inattentiveness, just a moment, and it could be too late. It could spring upon you, and you'll be helpless. And there are so many examples in the scriptures. Shukadev Goswami is explaining herein some examples. Prabhupada elaborates. There's Lord Shiva, how he was attracted to the avatar of Krishna, Mohini. Now, we understand Lord Shiva is such a great personality. Being attracted to Krishna in this particular feminine form was not really a defect. Because after all, it was Krishna. She was Krishna. He was under the potency of Yogamaya. So therefore, we offer our respectful obeisances to Lord Shiva. Because it's not for anyone that Krishna incarnates in such a beautiful form to attract his mind. But at the same time, the Acharyas and the Srimad Bhagavatam are explaining this Leela from a point of view of teaching the world. Many of the Lord's pastimes have these various levels. One is the ras between the Lord and his devotees. The exchange of inconceivable loving relationships. But on another level, that same pastime may be there to teach the world very, very critical lessons. And this is the lesson that we must learn from this. That even a Mahajan like Shankar, who is also called Bhagavan, even he, inattentive, his mind can cheat him. And it can be stolen away by illusion, by the propensity to enjoy. Now one may say, but this does not apply, because this is a leela between Krishna and Shiva. But we must understand from the acharyas, what is the purpose of this leela? It is, in fact, to teach the world good lesson. And what is that lesson? That everyone should be very humble. No one should be proud. No one should think that they're great. Because as soon as you think that way, you're already in the clutches of Maya. And all the rest will follow subsequently. So if someone, Lord Shiva, or Lord Brahma, or Vishwamitra Muni, or Sobari Muni, if they were bewildered due to inattentiveness, if their minds drag them down into such embarrassing conditions, then what is our position? Our position to be very humble. Srila Prabhupada explains the remedy. of not falling into the Maya's control. And how does Maya work? Essentially through the mind. Maya can create so many external phantasmagora that is trying to either create attraction or aversion. But essentially, it's only successful if it affects our mind. Yes? If it doesn't affect our mind, a great soul can be like a lotus flower in a very, very muddy place. Material world, there is distractions everywhere. By Maya's potency, there's distractions from the path of truth that are all pervading. Within and without. But Maya can only be successful when Maya diverts our mind. Emerson has said, the mind is such a thing that it can make hell into heaven, or it can make heaven into hell. What is this mind? You cannot touch it. You cannot taste it. You cannot feel it. You cannot see it. It's so subtle. Subtler than air. Subtler than space. But yet, it is all powerful within this world. It is due to the mind alone that the conditioned soul is trapped within this repetition of birth and death. Where a head of state could take their next birth as a dog. Whereas a demigod can take his next birth as an insect. That is the power of the mind. Where a person with all facilities could take their next birth as a worm living in stool of a hog. That's the power of the mind. And who are we to compete? It's very difficult. Vishwamitra Muni, he lived in the Satya Yuga and the Treta Yuga. He was a real yogi who could perform severe tapasya. And it was all to control the mind. Because to control the senses means to control. If you cannot control your mind, you cannot control your senses. That illustration in our Bhagavad Gita that the body is like a chariot and the senses are like five wild horses that just want to taste and want to touch and want to see and want to smell and want to hear. And what is the mind? The mind is the reins. And the intelligence is the chariot driver. If we have good intelligence, we're listening. We're listening to the needs of the soul. We're listening to Krishna. With the intelligence that comes through Guru Sadhu Shastra, then we must hold on very tight to control the mind and through the mind to control the senses. And then our human form actually goes in the right direction. Otherwise, there are 8,400,000 species and the soul can end up in one of those chariots. So it is very critical to control the mind. But the problem is, it's very difficult. I don't think anyone needs too many analogies or examples to know how difficult it is to control the mind. Does anyone need to be convinced? Anyone who has even attempted to do so is already convinced. All day, every day. Mind very difficult. Maya is all powerful in this world. This material nature, which is being orchestrated by the three modes of nature, very difficult to overcome. How they affect our minds, how they go so deep, deep, deep into our subconsciousness. Very difficult. But Krishna tells, one who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. And herein, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how, if we do not want to fall into the same trap as Lord Shiva, Sobari, Muni, Vishwamitra, and all the others, we must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly, and then by the grace of Srila Haridas Thakur, we may be saved from these allurements. Srila Haridas Thakur, he was tested in every possible way, but he never failed a test. He was really infallible. Although he was by birth a Malecha, he was condemned and ostracized by many of the so-called high-level people of society. It doesn't describe that he had great physical prowess. In Fuliagram, he was sentenced to be tortured and then die. Did he reveal any mystic powers there? He revealed a power greater than all mysticism. He was being beaten. He was being spit on. He was being kicked. He was being blasphemed in public. That's quite humiliating to the false ego, is it not? Sometimes if you're just in a public place and a bird, you know, drops his droppings on you, it's very embarrassing. Yes? I remember at Madhu Priya's house, I was giving lecture and so many hundreds of people, and then birds were dropping on my head and on my clothes. And I was just going on with the lecture. I deserve worse. But still, in your mind, you're thinking, you know, this really makes you look fallible, doesn't it? Very nice. Krishna knows how to teach everyone good lessons. So if a bird, just some businessman in his Mercedes, coming out for nice ceremonial event, his wife, his beautiful nightgown, and then a hawk, one of those big birds, flies overhead and very embarrassing. She'll probably start to cry. Yes, she'll be angry and she'll cry and take me home, I have to bathe, I have to change. It's very embarrassing. So imagine Haridas Thakur in front of everybody, the whole town. He's being spit on. He's being kicked. It's being dragged. It's being beaten. It's rolling in the ground. Apparently helpless. Now, Haridas had mystic powers. He's an avatar of Lord Brahma. Huh? Can anyone imagine Lord Brahma in a situation like that? But Haridas Thakur, he revealed the greatest mystic power. He revealed the power that we should all be anxious for. Not to subdue our enemies. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he was supposed to fight the battle. But the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken to teach Arjuna and the world through him how to control the mind and senses. That's the real battle. Fighting the Kurukshetra war was a detail. Yes? As far as Bhagavad Gita concerned, that was the detail. You just do what I'm saying, control mind, control the senses, fix your consciousness upon me. This is why you should do, this is how you should do. That was what Gita's about. And with this consciousness fight, and whether you win or lose is not important. What's matter is this consciousness. Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyashimna namaskar. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage to me. In this way you will come to me without fail. So Srila Haridas Thakur, despite being put in such a predicament, he tolerated it. And he was constantly in the mood of compassion, forgiving those who were trying to destroy him. Praying for forgiveness. And how was he able to maintain such a state of consciousness? Because he was constantly chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches that we must follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. Nam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma. And Haridas Thakur is the Nam Acharya. Acharya means one who teaches by example. Haridas Thakur is teaching us by his example. What are the qualities in which we can offenselessly chant the holy names? Humble like the blade of grass, tolerant like tree, offering all respect to others and not considering respect for oneself. In this state of mind, we could chant the names of the Lord constantly. This is Haridas Thakur. And every type of trial came upon him. But he was so humble and so deeply committed to chanting the holy names in that state that nothing could affect him. He wasn't angry. He wasn't vengeful. He wasn't humiliated. Even when he was being beaten to death from sunrise to sunset through 22 marketplaces, he maintained the integrity. And what was that integrity? He was forgiving, he was tolerant, and he never gave up the chanting of the holy names. Incredible. And before and after that, he was tested in other ways. In Benapole, beautiful prostitute came in the middle of the night, when there was no one around. And Haridas, he converted her to be a Vaishnava. And in Fuliagram, while in his cave in the forest, Maya Devi herself came personally with all of her powers to distract his attention. But she could not. One insignificant little apsara named Menaka distracted Vishwamitra. But Maya, with her whole potency, could not distract Haridas. Because of his humility, his tolerance, and his complete absorption in the chanting of the holy names. So it is very important. Prabhupada would sometimes say to his disciples, your problem is you do not take Maya serious enough. Maya is a big problem. She's very powerful and she's very subtle. He said, your problem is you do not take Maya serious enough. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. Danger at every step. So many allurements. Matuna agara. Prabhupada is explaining how so many attractions and how the attraction for sexual pleasures is so deeply rooted within all of material creation. There is the gross sex and there is the subtle set of profit, adoration and distinction. Very, very deep, very powerful. So we must take Maya very seriously. Prabhupada said, Maya has the powers of Krishna. She's empowered with Krishna's Shakti. She is Krishna's Shakti. Yoga Maya is Krishna's Shakti for those who surrender, controls them. And Maya is Krishna's Shakti that controls all those who are not surrendering to Krishna. Very powerful. So to surrender to Krishna means to perform tapasya. Tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam. Prabhupada says in this purport that one should never neglect austerities and penances. One should always perform them. And yet there are so many spiritual teachers who have hundreds and thousands of millions of followers who say, don't worry about penances and austerities. Just do this technique and you'll become nice. Sometimes if somebody's not willing to do anything else, we say, just chant Hare Krishna. Yes, just eat this prasad. But if a person becomes a little more serious, we cannot cheat them. We have to tell them that human life is meant for tapasya. So in this particular verse, it is said that all the learned scholars have given this opinion, that the mind is by nature very restless and one should not make friends with it. The mind will present him or himself or herself as your best well-wishing friend. But we should not make friends with the mind. We should make friends with Krishna. We should listen to Krishna's words. We should not listen to the dictations of mind. When the mind becomes one with the word of Krishna, the mind becomes our best friend because it connects us to our best friend, Krishna. But if the mind says anything else, the mind is the worst enemy. So we must be very serious and very careful. That is why the association of devotees is so critical. Without association of devotees, unless one is on a very highly liberated platform, it's very difficult to overcome the tendencies of Maya. Rishabdev taught his example, and he spoke to his 100 sons, headed by Bharat Maharaj. But even Bharat Maharaj, he was in the preliminary stage of bhava. There were actually symptoms of love of God that was beginning to manifest in his personality. He left his home, his wealth, his family, and all the pleasures thereof. He left it like a person leaves stool after putting it on the ground. Very advanced person. But Maya is so strong. She worked through a deer to distract his attention. Little by little by little. The downfall of Bharat Maharaj was not a sudden thing. Just one thing at a time. First there was an inconceivable circumstance that seemed so complex that here is this little deer with no one to protect it. I cannot neglect it. It will die if I just carry on with my meditation as I've been doing. Yes? That's how Maya works. She puts us in very, very complicated circumstances where it just seems unavoidable. Yes? Then little by little by little, he became less and less dedicated to his sadhana and more concerned with the physical needs of this deer. And soon, he was obsessed with attachment to the deer. He was crying for Krishna. Now he's crying for a deer. He was feeling anguish of separation from Krishna. Now he's feeling anguish of separation for an animal. Hare Krishna. How is that? Little by little by little. Through the mind. So association of devotees is so very important. Because in that association, we're always reminded the nature of the mind, it becomes a little distracted, but then we come to Srimad Bhagavatam class, we hear the truth. We discuss with devotees, we hear the truth. We see the deities, we dance before the deities, and everything comes again in its spiritual perspective. Association of devotees is critical. But that only gives us support, necessary critical support. And the blessings of Guru and the senior Vaishnavas give us strength. But then with all those blessings and all that support and strength that we're given, we have to use it. We have to use it. We're trained in the philosophy. We're given so many wonderful tools to use in our devotional service, but we have to use them. And using them means our free, independent will. To live with dignity. To take shelter. And chant Hare Krishna. And seek the grace of Haridas Thakur and his representatives. Krishna has descended within his name. Chanting Hare Krishna is not just a musical performance. On one level, to attract people, it may be like that, where it's a musical performance and people are going like this. But actually, if we want to be free of Maya, we have to sincerely understand the power and nature of the mind and take shelter by somehow or other fixing the mind on devotional service. And of all forms of devotional service, the most powerful is the chanting of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? We will end here. Hare Krishna.